Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Trimble, Trimble fan, Sun9QT with you here. Happy Valentine's Day as we pay tribute to the man for whom the day is named, the Hammer, Greg Valentine. Some show notes for you really quick if you're looking for some wrestling to attend on this Valentine's Day. You have Kentucky Die Hard Wrestling happening down in Jeffersonville, Indiana. You have also NWA Circle City Wrestling in Indianapolis, Indiana. You have WCWC up in Salem, Oregon. And you have NWA Blue Collar today, like usual, at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. So get out there, support your local independent pro wrestling, find yourself a show, and make sure you support that. Now, like I said, we are paying tribute to one of the all-time greats in professional wrestling today, a man that is familiar to most fans, be it new ones or long-time fans, the Hammer, Greg Valentine. And I would like to welcome one of our guests who is on with us right now. He has faced Greg Valentine in the ring, has known him for many years. My good friend, Greg Lake. Mr. Lake, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jason, for having me. Yes, Greg's a character, all right. What did you need to know? I can tell you what it's like facing him in the ring. So if you got any questions offhand, just shoot them out at me.
Well, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about that very first match. I know Greg was your very first match as a wrestler, am I correct?
Yes, it was Dominic DiNucci and I. He was my tag partner, Dominic DiNucci, which may some of you old-time fans may remember him, mostly out of New York. He was my partner. This was in Cleveland TV. They used to film in, I think it was Shaker Heights, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. Cleveland, Ohio, almost said Cleveland, Tennessee. Anyway, we're doing a TV show, and they were making four tapes that day, which they often did back in the old territory days. This is back in, I believe it was September 7th, I believe, 1972. So some people listening may not even have been born yet. I can't remember exactly. I think it was the first taping, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, it was my very first match. I had green trunks and white boots, which I borrowed from somebody. I trained at Klein's Gym, by the way, and up in Detroit, Michigan, and was trained there for several months and trained by some of the best out there. But anyway, they needed some guys from Klein's Gym, and as Lou Klein often did, he would send guys to do TV from the gym, and we went out there, and I was fortunate enough, quote unquote, I say sarcastically, to have my very first match with Greg Valentine and Donnie Fargo, and they were known as the Fargo Brothers. And if I remember, it was almost like a dream, like, you know, when you do something for the first time. It was ever since I was like 9 years old, I wanted to be a professional wrestler. Anyway, what happened was, got in a ring. It was almost like a dream. Donnie would get in the ring, and he'd work really light, and it was kind of like, wow, this is pretty cool. It was almost like a pillow fight. That's what it kind of reminded me of. You know, he kind of felt it, but it didn't hurt. Donnie was a fantastic worker, just died recently. Donnie Fargo, great guy. I met him a few years ago, face-to-face again after many years, and just a really neat guy. There's a book called The Hard Wave, based on Donnie Fargo's life. I'm not here to plug that, but I just wanted to say he was an original character, that's for sure. Anyway, worked with Greg, getting to Greg. Donnie would tag off to Greg, and it was like hitting a brick wall. It went from pillow fight to brick wall. Greg hit really hard. In fact, this is no joke, he slapped me so hard, of course I have fair skin anyway, he left a handprint that lasted for 3 days on my chest. So, it was really bizarre. It was like I said, night and day. You get in with Donnie, you tag Donnie, it was like a pillow fight again, really light. And then you get in with Greg, he tagged to Greg, and boom, back to reality. Another comment about that was, as I mentioned, it was on tape. They made 4 tapes that day, and I believe this was the first one. And then the 3rd tape, they had me on against Greg's dad, Johnny Valentine. And Johnny hit just as hard as Greg or vice versa. And I'll tell you, when I left that day, so I wrestled Greg and Johnny Valentine in the same day. You talk about baptism of fire, that was it. I left that day or that evening with a headache which lasted for about 3 days also beside the handprint on my chest. But I'll tell you what, it was a great feeling. You know, I'd reached my life's goal at the time to be a professional wrestler, and once again I worked with two of the toughest in the business that day. So it's pretty. And then a couple other things real quickly while they're on my mind. I also wrestled and refereed Greg's matches. I wrestled again in Pittsburgh. I forget who my partner was there, but it was me and another gentleman against the Fargo brothers again a few months later, and this is in Pittsburgh TV now. And I remember one thing, and that was the only thing I can really remember about that match is I remember getting hit from the months before. So what I did, Greg threw me in the rope, and I came back, and I punched him in the gut as hard as I could. And he doubled over. I don't know if he did it on, you know, if he felt it or not, but I know I laid it in hard as I could. And I was always told with Greg and Johnny, you hit back as hard as you can, because that's what they expect. So anyway, I got Greg back. I got what they call a receipt. If a person out there is listening, familiar with wrestling terms, when somebody hits you hard on purpose, then you get them back by giving them what's called a receipt, which is you hit them back as hard as you can also. So I wrestled Greg a few months later, Greg and Donnie again, but then I wrestled him a third time a few years later in wrestling at the Chase, at the Chase Hotel in St. Louis. They film TV there once a month, I believe, out of St. Louis and Kansas City. So it was Ed Wiskowski and Greg Valentine. Many of you Portland fans probably remember Easy Ed, or he had about a ton of other names, a plethora of other names that he used, the Mega Maharishi. But anyway, wrestled Greg, and once again, I can't remember my partner's name, but Greg and I had a decent match. When we got in there, I think we both learned to respect each other and knew what to expect out of each other after wrestling each other a few times. And funny part about it, I never really hurt anybody in the ring, but in that match, that particular match, I had Ed backed into the corner, and they had at St. Louis TV, Wrestling at the Chase, for tag matches, they would have two referees, one in the ring and one out. Well, the referee, the only time I ever hurt anybody, and it was an accident, was I pulled my fist back, and I accidentally caught him in the eye, gave the referee a black eye. And then finally, one a couple more things about Greg. I refereed a couple more matches with him. I refereed a match in Muncie, Indiana. And then this is, I don't know, 10 years ago. And then I also refereed a match with him in my hometown here of Lafayette, Indiana. And
Greg Lake.
Pardon me? As Greg Lake, yeah. And anyway, It was the guy he was wrestling, the guy that that Greg was wrestling. Greg backed him into the ropes, and like his father Johnny used to do, Greg backed this guy in the ropes, and I mean he hit this guy in the chest as hard as ever, and I'm not joking. I was about 3 feet away from him, but I could feel the vibration of the forearm to the guy's chest, and he was like 3 feet away from me. So anyway, that's my quick story on Greg. What else is going on?
Well, we also have with us now Phil Monahan, and I know, Phil, you recently, in the last few months, wrestled Greg Valentine in a tribute to his famous dog collar match with Roddy Piper. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you came to first meet Greg and what led to the tribute?
You know, it's funny because one of my first matches was against Greg Lake, who, you know, was just on your radio show. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
wrestling's a small world.
Hello, Phil. By the way, hello, Phil. Last July, we saw you when you were working in Powerbomb Championship Wrestling in Toledo, Ohio. Congratulations on the belts, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I remember you in Amish Assassin.
Yeah.
When you first started. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't cut you off.
No, it's all good. Years ago. Everybody's got to be somebody sometimes, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Funny, you didn't look Amish, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm on the way to a show right now in a snowstorm, so if you lose me, we're either probably sideswiped or in the ditch. But anyway, the deal with Greg, I met Greg years ago. You know, he's been on the independents for quite a long time. So it was, you know, I see him frequently, at least once, twice a year. Working, and then, you know, I run my own promotion and had Greg in for a couple times. So we had a pretty good relationship, and that summer was a big convention, the first MegaCon up in Jackson, Michigan, and the promoter of the convention wanted some wrestlers, you know, brought in. So he wanted, you know, someone kind of new and someone that, you know, from the 90s, and then someone, one of the legends. So, you know, we had Mike Knox and Shane Douglas and Greg Valentine come in. So we brought Greg, and originally, you know, we were just going to do a regular match, and there was nothing really special, really planned, you know, it was just a regular card. And then a couple weeks before the MegaCon event, Roddy passed away. And funny thing, last time Greg and Roddy actually hung out was just a few weeks, probably a month or two before, at the Detroit Comic Con. They actually spent a night at a friend of mine's house up there in Detroit, Rob Abram. That was the last time they seen each other. So it was kind of cool to know that they got to hang out and see each other one last time before Roddy passed away. But anyway, after hearing about Roddy passing away, he was one of my big influences. The first wrestler that was my favorite wrestler, and I got to meet him quite a few times, and great guy. Kind of got the idea of wanting to do some kind of tribute for him, and chatting with Greg, and thought how cool it would be to, you know, do a dog collar match and you know, in honor of Roddy. So Greg was excited about it, you know. It was kind of cool to hear Greg, you know, pumped up about a match. Bill Apter plugged it and covered it, and it actually got quite a bit of press. So it's, you know, these guys have been wrestling for 40 years like Greg. It's probably hard to get excited about, you know, a regular independent match and to go out there and do it, but Greg was legitimately excited and pumped up, and we went out there and, you know, beat the snot out of each other, and we had a good old school dog collar match. Greg was back in the back all smiled, he was happy, and both covered in blood, and you know, so there's one of, you know, funny times you have in recent memory. So,
I've seen pictures of that. Seen pictures of that match. It looked pretty brutal on Facebook.
It was. You know, Greg, as you can say, Greg was, you know, he started laying him in, and I was giving him my back. And Greg told me later, he said, you know, most of the time when I'm out there with guys, and, you know, I started laying them in, and they started backing off. You know, this new generation of worker, so to speak, I guess, you know, doesn't follow it. But, you know, told a good story, and then he put it in, and I gave it back, and it was a good old school match.
That's what he likes, him and his dad. You know,
yep.
Incredible.
So I'll do it again with him sometime.
I have a question I'll throw it to both of you. I worked with Greg years ago, one of my very first times in there, and just based on my experience, it seemed like if you were willing to take as hard as Greg could throw, the lighter he would be with you, because that's how he gauged the respect he was going to give you in the ring. If you went to him and you were scared, if you were asking him not to hurt you, then that's when he would really lay it in. But if you went and told him, lay it in as much as you want, let's make this good, it seemed like he would lighten up on you because he had the respect for you as a professional. Would you guys think that way too? I'll start with Greg Lake.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like I said, the first time I ever worked with him, I was taught, don't, you know, the people see it, they don't feel it kind of thing. So Greg, you know, my very first match, Greg, as I mentioned earlier, would, you know, beat the snot out of me, and I just kind of took it. But then when a few months later in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh TV, that's when I came off and I hit him in the gut as hard as I could. And then after that, he seemed to loosen up a lot. So, and then the next match or two after that, like at Wrestling at the Chase, he was really good. He really started working with you, it seemed, when you, you know, hit him really hard. What do you think, Phil? You get the same idea?
Do we have Phil with us still?
Yeah. I would say in response to that question or statement, you know, back in the day, a lot of veterans would gauge you on how you reacted to certain, you know, how they hit you or whatnot. That would tell a lot, you know, in the first couple of minutes in the match, they'd want to know, you know, what kind of person they were dealing with in the ring. So that was, you know, it's kind of an old school, you know, common practice, so to speak. So, but, yeah, Greg, I mean, there's a time and a place for it when you're really going to be laying it in, and that's when, you know when to turn it up and turn it down. So, and sometimes, you know, just by hitting somebody, you know what time it is. You know, so that's back when you didn't really have to do a bunch of talking or spots or anything like that. You just felt it, and you knew, you know, you give it back or take it or sell or whatever, and you could just read the crowd and know what to do. And, you know, quite honestly, there wasn't even 5 or 6 words between me and Greg the whole match. We were out there for, you know, 15 minutes.
I'll tell you a quick story from Facebook. About a year or so ago, I got a hold of Greg on Facebook, and he's on there for all you fans who enjoy Greg Valentine's work. He's a super worker. But anyway, I mentioned to him that he was my first match and that he really laid him in, and he said, yeah, and then he wrote back, yeah. He says, I did hit a lot of people pretty hard, and it was just written in the sense of it was kind of a chuckle I took it as. So, great guy, great worker, you know, super worker. Very solid, obviously, besides the punches. So, anyway, I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah.
Now, Phil, in the dog collar match, the original one, it got pretty brutal. Greg had told me that he and Piper just had an understanding between the two of them without really saying anything, that they were going to lay it in and they were going to come out pretty battered and bloodied, and they just knew that neither of them was trying to injure the other, but they knew that it was going to be a hard match, very physical. Going into that, were you getting that sense? Did Greg mention anything to you about the physicality, or was it something that was kind of understood going into that match?
I mean, with the experience that I have and the experience that Greg had, I don't think, first off, I don't think Greg would just go ahead and have a dog collar match with anybody. But I think we both knew going in, and with what the whole match was signifying, you know, we both knew that we were going to lay it in and things were going to be physical, and it was going to be a tight match, and we were going to beat the hell out of each other. So that was pretty much everything was understood what kind of match we were going to have and what it signified and what we were going to do without having to say it. You know, I mean, we did hate each other. I posted a picture on my Facebook the very next day of the, you know, afterwards of the match, and there's bruises and cuts and, you know, it same understanding pretty much.
At this point, my co-host QT is with us, and I'm sure he has a few Greg Valentine-related questions, so I'm going to give things to QT for a bit.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sunday. Hello, Mr. Lake.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Mr. Lake, it's Valentine's Day. How do you think Greg the Hammer Valentine would have done in a match with Essential Chocolate Mark Henry?
Oh, I don't know. He probably would have ate him up in the ring. Ate him up in the ring. Sorry.
Well, Mark Henry, he once held the world record in the powerlifting competition. He himself is a huge man. I think he might have held his own against the Hammer.
Yeah, I would have liked to see the two in their prime. I think that would have been a super match. I don't know if Mark Henry – I think Mark Henry is a lot younger than Greg, and I'm not really much younger than Greg myself. I think maybe 2 or 3 years. I'm 62 almost, and he's 65 or 66. He looks great, though. He looks fantastic. But, yeah, I think I would have loved to see that match in both in their prime. That would have been great.
Yes. Okay. Well, Greg, I saw the YouTube video called Piper's Pit with Greg Valentine and Captain Lou Albano on the date October 28th, 1984. There seemed to be a little friction between Roddy Piper and Greg at the beginning of the video, and it seemed that Piper was on edge and tense at Greg's presence, but that quickly dissipated soon after Captain Lou Albano took the microphone. Captain Lou stated that he always wanted the two to work together, and quickly after that, the two men shook hands. Then Roddy took the microphone and said, "You know, let me tell you something. That's what makes this man, the captain, the greatest manager ever in wrestling, because he knows how to get people to bury the hatchet. He knows how to get great talent together, and it is a pleasure to be here with you, Valentine, because I know what a man you are." Your comments, please.
Oh, it was a situation where Piper was kind of leery and knew of Greg's reputation of liking to hit and hurt people. But I think Captain Lou, I actually was in a couple matches with Captain Lou, not to blow my own horn, but just a quick comment about that. I worked with Lonnie Main a couple times, wrestled Lonnie Main in Pennsylvania, I believe. Anyway, Lou Albano was there and was his manager. Lou was a super heck of a manager. But anyway, Captain Lou had a way. I didn't know him really well, but I've seen him a few times, talked to him, and he just had a way of getting people together. You know, he would have been a great marriage counselor probably, because he was able to talk people and get them together. Speaking of Valentine's Day, right? Captain Lou had a good influence on people and knew how to get people to work together. That's why he was such a great manager and a neat guy, too. That's my opinion on that.
Well, now you mentioned Lonnie Mayne. There was another real tough man. He used to come up into the Crow's Nest on Portland Wrestling way back into the 70s. And he wasn't, how would you say, he wasn't taken aback if he took a light bulb and he started chewing on the light bulb and breaking all that glass in his mouth. I actually saw him chew on glass. Yes.
Yeah, I would have rather, if it were me, I would have rather chewed on some chocolate. I'm trying to keep Valentine's Day in here. But no, Lonnie was, but you know what? As mean as Lonnie was in the ring, he was just twice as nice outside the ring. I met him a few years after that, and Cole and I had wrestled him before, and he just like a super friend, became like super friendly. Nice guy. Really nice guy, Lonnie Mayne. Just a neat guy. I don't know if you fans ever heard of Moondog Ed Moretti, a really good friend of mine, lives in California now. Lonnie gave him Moondog Moretti, Ed Moretti, the permission to use that name, Moondog. So,
oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a true story. Ed's a great guy.
All right. Well, now, Mr. Lake, do you know if Greg the Hammer ever met Ken Patera in the ring?
I don't know offhand, but I wouldn't doubt it because they both worked in New York, and at the same time, they both worked in Kansas City, or St. Louis and Kansas City. They were kind of the same territory, I believe. But they probably did. In fact, you could it'd probably be on YouTube if you wanted to look it up, if the fans wanted to look it up. Patera versus Valentine. A lot of good matches I watched too. So that would be something to do.
Actually, I think I just got an answer to that. There is a YouTube video available, Ken Patera versus Greg Valentine, prime time, July 25th,
1988. Okay, I am actually going to look it up on my computer right now, YouTube.
Oh, good, good. I gave you an on-the-air homework assignment. okay. Well, Greg, you said you were from Detroit. Are you a big fan of Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels?
No, heck no. No, he was all right. That C.C. Ryder, I think. That kind of date. Actually, my grandparents told me about Mitch Ryder. It was, I'm not old at all. Ha ha. No, I remember. I was in my 8 or 9 years old when that song came out. But no, I'm actually from Indiana here, Lafayette, home of Purdue University. But I went to Detroit in 72, first part of 72, and learned. And then I went down to Georgia Championship Wrestling before it became, the big time. That's where Piper ended up, too, for a long time. But I've been around Pacific Northwest for Dean Silverstone and worked up there for a while. So, I've been around. Canada, I worked in Canada a few times. George Cannon, if your fans remember George Cannon at all, Crybaby Cannon.
Okay.
Yeah, I was up there for a while. George was a cool guy. He was really. I'm a Christian, and not to be preachy, but George was an atheist, and we used to get in really spirited, not arguments, but spirited discussions. In fact, it was kind of neat. I did a 5-week tour up there Canada. Newfoundland. I did a 5-week Newfoundland tour, and George and I, because of this religious faction, he would call me Greg Christian Lake when he would introduce me. It was kind of an inside joke between him and I. But no, George is a really neat guy. I worked a few times with him for his promotion up in Windsor, Ontario, Detroit area, Cobo Hall. This is after the Sheik, Eddie Farhat left. George kind of took over the territory. In Canada, I worked for George several times, as mentioned, and went on a tour with him back in 1980. Just a neat guy. Just a really neat guy.
So wow, that's fantastic. All right. Well, Greg, I also saw the video entitled Michael Hayes versus Greg Valentine, June 6, 1992. And at the beginning of the video, the announcer said, from Bad Street, USA, in Atlanta, Georgia, one half of the greatest rock and roll band of all time, Michael P.S. Hayes. My first question is, who was the other rock and roller that Michael Hayes was teaming up with to form the greatest rock band of all time? To be classified as such and at least be in consideration, you need to be at a minimum a power trio, such as Cream, Rush, or perhaps ZZ Top. Who were they saying that Michael P.S. Hayes was singing with?
That's a good question. They did that song Bad Street USA and the Freebird song, and they had their own songs. I'm not sure of the group. I don't see Terry Gordy as a rock and roll guy. I see him as a straight ahead big bad dude. You know? I'm sorry?
Oh, okay. I chuckled at that. Yes. Okay.
And
now,
then
this brings up the question, Phil, did you have entrance music?
Okay.
Oh, did we lose
Phil?
Hello? Oh, hey, Phil, hey, here's a question. We were talking about Michael P.S.A.'s Hayes being in a rock band. Did you yourself have entrance music?
No, not really. No.
Oh, all right. Well, to your knowledge, was Greg the Hammer Valentine ever in a rock and roll band? Because he was from Seattle, a hotbed of rock and roll.
I think the closest he would be with Rhythm and Blues. With the Honky Tonk Man was probably as close as he got.
Oh, yeah, Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, all right. Now, could you ever see Greg the Hammer forming a power trio rock band with the Bella Twins?
No.
It wouldn't be a rock and roll trio, that's for sure. We'll just leave it at that.
All right.
We won't elaborate on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, to your knowledge, did Michael P.S. Oh, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go on.
Oh, all right. Well, to your knowledge, did Michael P.S. Hayes ever sing with Scott Baio?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Greg, Phil, I also saw the video entitled Buddy Rose versus Greg Valentine, WWF 1991. And during this match, Greg Valentine stopped his match with the Playboy and started to chase Jimmy Hart up the ramp. Once at the 2-minute mark and again at the 2:54 mark, in which the Hammer almost caught a fleeing Jimmy Hart and was only behind him by about 3 steps. My question is, could you have caught a fleeing Jimmy Hart as he fled up the ramp?
I doubt it. He's pretty fast and wiry. And we're finishing.
That's probably why he survived so long. That's probably why he survived in wrestling so long.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yes, he was. He was pretty wiry, and it was hard to cage him. Yes. Okay. Well,
actually,
Greg.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, okay.
I was going to say, do you know, does anybody know, and I don't, I tried to look it up on YouTube, did anybody know if Greg, I think Greg tagged with his father, Johnny Valentine, once, but I don't know if they ever wrestled each other. Anybody out there know if Greg and Johnny actually wrestled each other, father versus son kind of thing? Anybody know that for sure? For sure?
Ooh, I don't.
That would have been a heck of a match.
I don't know that they did. From everything I ever heard, Johnny didn't really want to be associated with Greg because of the mindset
that
he didn't want the fans to think he was as old as he actually was which in wrestling at that time was kind of the standard thing. He didn't want to be old enough to have adult children that could wrestle with you or against you, so he really didn't associate much with Greg on the same shows they were on together, which is why Greg wrestled under the Fargo name to start.
Oh, yeah. Okay, makes sense. Also, there's an old Wrestling Review magazine, I think it was Wrestling Review, where they actually said Johnny was Greg's brother or something. I thought that was interesting. I actually read that article myself. But I
want to say that was the same basic mindset was when Johnny allowed him to start using the Valentine name. He made Greg his younger brother just to protect that age thing a little bit more. It wasn't until Johnny had to retire from the plane crash that they came out and said that Greg was actually his son.
Right. That makes sense. Oh, it does. I can see that.
Speaking of wrestling families, I've actually got Paul Orndorff's brother, Ray Orndorff, in the car with me right now, if anybody wants to talk to him.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. I'm good.
Hey, Mr. Orndorff, if you're there, congratulations for your brother getting the Cauliflower Alley Club.
I'm here.
Oh, Mr. Orndorff, this is Greg. You've met me before. Hey, congratulations on your brother winning the Cauliflower Alley Club Men's Wrestler of the Year coming up in April. Congrats to him.
Cool.
Yeah, do you think you're going to be there with him? And not to poo-poo Johnny Valentine or Greg, do you think your brother? Are you going to be there with your brother when he accepts the award, do you think, in April?
I'm not sure yet. We're going to be talking. Well, gosh, it's almost end of February.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't, I heard about it, but I didn't, we haven't made any definite plans.
Yeah. Actually, I was up for that award. I had been nominated, but you know what? I'm glad your brother got it because he was much more deserving than me, that's for sure. I've been around, but your brother was a great wrestler, and it seems to be. I never met your brother. I met you, of course, several times, but your brother deserves it, I'll tell you. I'll just leave it at that because he's a good guy and did a lot for the wrestling business.
Great guy. Yes, he is. I learned a lot from him.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I'm the good-looking one, though.
Pardon me?
I said I'm the good-looking one of the bunch.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Hey, did you ever wrestle Johnny Valentine or Greg Valentine or Johnny? Greg Valentine?
No. The match y'all were talking about with Nitro and Valentine and the dog collar match, I refereed that match.
Oh, okay. Wow. Uh-huh.
I said guest referee.
Uh-huh. So you did work
and
with
it was, yes. Yeah, it was definitely interesting, and it was a great match.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, saw the pictures look great. Tell you, lots of color.
Right.
Wow.
Mr. Orndorff, when you were the referee for that dog collar match, going into it, did you think it was going to be as physical as it was, or were you expecting a little bit less physicality maybe than what you actually saw in the ring?
Well, knowing both of them, I knew that they were going to give it 100%, but I did expect that it would be a little bit less. I was proud of both of them. They did excellent, and the crowd was on their feet. It was just a perfect match at the perfect time.
Yeah, plus you had, memories of Roddy Piper there, too, which really kind of a catalyst that made it good, it sounds like.
Well, Mr. Orndorff, I think you missed your greatest opponent when you never got to wrestle Mae Young. I would have paid huge money to see that.
Wow.
Yes.
May's a nice lady. I don't know if you've ever met her. She's a sweetheart. So is Fabulous Moolah. I know she had a lot of heat from the girl wrestlers that she trained. But you know what? I met Moolah many times, and Mae Young. They were all two super ladies. That's all I got to say about them. Neat ladies.
Wow.
They were, definitely. And they were an asset to the business back in the day.
Definitely. Definitely. Neat ladies.
Well, Mr. Lake,
sorry, go ahead.
You said that Donnie Fargo wrote a book called The Hard Way. Do you have an autographed book of his?
I don't have a. I got a copy. I got one. Scott Keel. In fact, a little cheap plug for Scott. Scott's a great guy. Scott just retired. He's helped write many books. Books about wrestlers are like seagulls. I can't think of his name. Anyway, that's a great book. I'm in the Bruiser Brody book. Never Make a Comeback. I'm Bruiser Brody. That's the chapter. And Bruiser Brody was a character. I wrestled him twice. Hey, you talk about Greg Valentine. You talk about polar opposites. I mean, you had Bruiser Brody. He would hit hard, but if you tried to come back on him and he didn't want you to, he'd stop you. You know, he would stop you. He stopped me. In fact, he beat the crud out of me. The first match, literally, knocked the crud out of me in my first match, and then I wrestled him a few months later. This is in Indianapolis TV for Dick the Bruiser's group, WWA. I wrestled him the second time a few months later, and I let him have his way. You know, I didn't fight back or nothing. I mean, we had not a great match, but at least I didn't get hurt the second time. Amazing. So he didn't like it when he came back on him. He was like, where Greg, I'll give Greg, you know, really good lip service because he wanted you to come back, and he wanted you to hit hard. Bruiser Brody, unless you were, you know, Blackjack Mulligan or somebody, I don't mean to bring his name up. I don't know if he's passed away or not. I know he's close to it. But anyway, unless you're a big guy, Bruiser Brody didn't like you coming back on him. So, go ahead.
All right. Well, Paul, Mr. Orndorff, is there any truth to the rumors that Valentine's Day is your favorite holiday?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Are there any truth to the rumors that today is your favorite holiday, even outdoing Thanksgiving and Christmas? Yes.
No, I think all the holidays are my favorite. Just the opportunity to spend it with special people. And today I'm spending it with Nitro. And I couldn't think of a better time and a better person to spend it with.
Oh, wow, okay. All right.
Yeah, we go back way back, 20 years at least.
Wow, that's older than me.
Now, Mr. Lake, you said that you were from Detroit, and Detroit is known to be a pretty tough place. Was there ever a time where you wrestled Greg the Hammer Valentine in Detroit and a fan became a little bit too over-enthusiastic and tried to reach out and punch maybe Greg the Hammer or approach him in the wrong way?
And try to reach out and touch someone, right? Like the old... No,
yeah,
actually,
like
I don't care.
Greg the Hammer, yes.
I don't... Go ahead, I'm sorry. What was that?
Was there ever a time where a fan where you saw him make a derogatory comment that got under the skin of the Hammer?
No, we were too busy. He was too busy beating the snot out of me. No, I don't think so. In the times that I wrestled Greg, seriously, he would just, you know, he'd focus 100% on what he was doing in the ring, which if it was me, he was pounding the crud out of me. So, I don't know. Greg was pretty even tempered. I mean, as far as fans goes, you know, he appreciated the fans in his own way, and he usually just stuck and focused on what he was doing in the ring, when I wrestled him several times and refereed.
Oh, okay.
He was pretty focused on his match.
Greg, being that you have not only wrestled for the Hammer, but you also refereed him later, you think when you got the opportunity to referee some of his matches, it had helped you having wrestled him because you kind of knew his tendencies and what to expect?
Yes. I didn't want to hack him off too much. I didn't want to upset him. So I would keep my distance. I mean, you know, respectable distance away from him because I didn't want him getting upset with me, and I wanted him to focus his energy on his opponent, who in this time wasn't me, which is a good thing. But, no, he was. It was a great thing to referee his matches, to actually kind of be watch him, you know, being the third man in the ring and having a close-up view of this man working. And he was very, very meticulous. He wasn't like a fast man, as I'm sure Phil realizes, wrestling him, but he was very meticulous. He knew what he wanted to do, and he did it, you know. And he always focused and thought about stuff before he did it, or as he was doing it. So, any remarks on that, Phil? Did you notice the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very, very old-school meticulous. And matter of fact, you know, he didn't do a lot of moves, but when he did them, he meant them. You know, Greg, you know, as a throwback, as kind of what I am as well, you know. You know, it's not how much you do, it's what you do and how you do it.
Exactly right. In his case, I was always trained that people see it, they don't feel it. Well, Greg was, if the people don't feel it, they don't see it or something. I don't know. But Greg, he made every punch count. He didn't waste any movement, like Phil said, you know.
You know, his father had a great saying that, you may not believe in professional wrestling, but you may not believe professional wrestling is real, but you will believe I am real.
Exactly. I've heard him say that, yes. Yeah. They were both, go ahead.
I'm the same way.
And that's the way it should be, you know. It should, you know, you got to work solid, you know.
Yep.
And it is entertainment. Yeah, everybody pretty much knows that anymore. It's sad to say. But it's not – wrestling is not fake. I mean, the falls and stuff are not fake. I don't know if anybody believes me or not, but that is true.
Fake is the worst word to
exactly.
use for it. The
fake
worst.
Is a four-letter word. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's entertainment, but, you know, fans don't know how much of it's entertainment, but some people are willing just to go out there and, you know, expose themselves and expose the business. And, you know, I'm still kind of, maybe I'm 20 years into the business, but, you know, kayfabe was still alive when I was, you know, breaking
exactly.
in. I got my ass kicked if I had tried to break that. And I still adhere to that to this day. So.
Yeah, it's like, it's like this, you know, you can say whatever you want about wrestling, but don't call it fake. I mean, when you get thrown from the ring, you get cut open, you get body slammed, that is not fake. I'm sorry, you cannot fake a fall to the ground or the floor. That's
no, I'm 6'4", 300 pounds. I mean, I don't fall gracefully anywhere, you know.
Uh-huh.
So.
Right. Bigger your heart, the harder they fall, as they say. That's true.
Yeah. Yep.
Doing pro wrestling, that's for sure. So fans can think whatever they want, but as far as wrestling itself, it's not fake. The moves and stuff, you cannot fake that.
My medical bills aren't fake. My doctor's appointments aren't fake, you know?
Yeah, my shoulder, which I was dropped on several years ago, which almost ended my career. I got couple of guys gave me the 3D, and they didn't know what they were doing, and, man, I landed on my shoulder. I mean, I would have felt it, but I felt it even worse because, and that's another thing, you got to know what you're doing like you do, but I mean, I'm just saying, generally speaking, as a pro wrestler, you got to know what you're doing or you can really mess somebody up pretty bad. It hurts bad enough as it is.
Greg Valentine came from a time where everybody was, you know, they weren't worried about getting their own stuff in, they worried about making the show good. You know, everybody knew their role,
right.
their role
exactly.
on the show, you know. And nowadays, everybody wants to get their shit in, and, you know, and then they're just worried about their match, when really they need to be worried about the show and selling tickets to the next event so you can, you know, make your payday.
Exactly. It's a whole new world, sadly, you know, in wrestling, you know.
You know, I'm sorry, I'll get off my soapbox now, but.
Yeah. Yeah, when Vincent Kennedy McMahon made it wrestling entertainment, it just kind of just messed everything up. But yeah, well.
Pussified it.
Pardon me?
I said he pussified it.
Yeah, he did. I still watch it, I'll be honest. I still watch it, but I always like watching the older guys like Chris Jericho. Not older, but, I mean, more experienced guys like Chris Jericho. Because he can, him and like AJ Styles, for example, not to plug them, but they're great workers, man. And love watching them. Old school. They're pretty sort of old school. So I like watching that kind of stuff.
No, it's just, they were thinking back then that, you know, people were larger than life, you know. And nowadays
right.
It's just, it's not an attraction because you can go out there and see your next door neighbor in the ring and there's no gimmicks or no characters. And, you know, they called the hammer for a reason because he would hammer people, you know. And there's no one that fits that bill today on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, gentlemen, we have a few minutes left, so I want to give you guys a chance if there's anything you'd like to say, plug, and promote, anything you have going on, social medias, upcoming appearances, anything at all, anything you'd like to say to the listeners. We'll start with Mr. Lake.
Yeah, first of all, I am reffing. I still ref, even though I'm almost 62 years old. I'll be 62 next week. I'm actually reffing at a show right down the street from where I live. I still ref occasionally, referee. So I'm doing that, and I still referee around the country. Well, Phil knows that. Phil saw me a few months ago. I do want to thank all the fans who supported us and are still supporting wrestling. Please continue to support wrestling, especially please support the independent wrestling in your area. It's those guys, those workers like Phil, those guys work their butts off a lot more than I think most of the guys do on WWE. Not to put them down, but anyway, support your local indie wrestling. Please do. It's great entertainment, family entertainment. So please, please, please support your indie independent pro wrestling in your area. And that's basically it. And thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Greg. Appreciate it. Mr. Monahan, do you have any plugs and promotions, anything to say to the listeners?
Sure. Like I said, right now, myself and Mr. Orndorff are on our way to NWA Circle City in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're struggling through a snowstorm, but, you know, that's what we do. Bell time, 6 o'clock. It's going to be a big show. You'll see myself, my partner, Malice Legion, Ray Orndorff, Road Warrior Animal, Billy Gunn, Kevin Thorne, Abyss, Rodney Mack and Jazz. It's a stacked show. In 2 weeks, we'll be in Valparaiso, Indiana, and Warsaw, Indiana, back-to-back, the 27th and 28th. Myself, Malice, Ray Orndorff, and three-time WWF Tag Team Champions, one of my mentors, Demolition Axe and Smash. They'll be there both days, so, you know, get out here and check these guys out because you never know when you will get a chance to do that again. So.
All right, well, gentlemen, thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day to be with us here. And Mr. Monahan, say hello to the boys and girls at NWA Circle City, most of whom I know fairly well. We'll talk to you fans next week. Get out there, support your local independents. And in honor of Valentine's Day, why not jump on YouTube or pull out some DVDs from your collection, watch some Greg the Hammer Valentine, one of the all-time great WWE Hall of Famer, Greg the Hammer. Definitely worth the time today to watch some of his matches.
Can I throw in a quick cheap plug for me? Real quick.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, for those of you who don't know me or could care less, if you want some good entertaining about 5 minutes of pro wrestling, go to YouTube, look up pro wrestler Greg Lake, G-R-E-G-L-A-K-E. Pro wrestler Greg Lake on YouTube. No joke, you'll enjoy it. It's a great match out of Vancouver, BC, British Columbia. Check it out.
Al Tomko.
Yeah, Al Tomko, exactly. In fact, I wrestled his son. His son is Rick Davis is on there. It's a good match and one of my better ones. So check it out. Pro wrestler Greg Lake, YouTube.
Well,
thank you very much. God bless you.
Mr. Lake. It was good speaking with you.
I'm sorry?
It was good speaking with you, all of you.
Thanks.
Oh, same here. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Bill,
all right, fans,
there,
we'll be back with you next week. Get out there, support your local independents. Stay safe if you're in the areas where the snowstorm's coming through, and we'll talk to you later.
It's going to be